we're in.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into Sports Talk Over Coffee with Andre and Couch. And we are waiting for Andre to call in because I'm just sitting around. I'll tell you what I was doing. This is stupid. I'm sitting here trying to figure out how the Texas Revolution can make the playoffs. Figure out who wins with the who has what left, and you know I'm kind of doing the ESPN thing. And the Revolution win out, they will make the playoffs. And so that's what I was doing while I was sitting here waiting for the show to start, not even paying attention to what time it is.
Are you kidding me?
Right in front of the phone. How you doing, Andrea?
I was sitting over here waiting for the show to start.
Oh, my gosh. It's spacing out. I mean, I
hope shows
the
have started. I'm sure the shows have started.
Oh, there's many shows that have started late, I'm sure. So, but I'm just hoping my Revolution can win out and make the playoffs. They got three or four at home, so I'm kind of hoping for them to be able to get that done. So.
Absolutely. So does that start today or what?
Well, no, it starts Saturday. They were on the bye this last week, and then the Revolution have games starting this weekend. So this upcoming weekend, 6 days, they need to win out. They got four more games. They need to win out. And it doesn't look good.
I wonder if they play the song Revolutionary Warfare. I just actually heard that song this morning. It's kind of a rap song. So
what?
Revolutionary Warfare. It's the name of a song.
I've never heard
It would
heard
be good
song.
To, like, get pumped up, you know, hip-hop for getting pumped up for the
well,
game or whatever.
I'm going to write that down. Revolutionary Warfare. Got it.
Yeah, all fair in love and war.
Got it. I will look that up. That's some kind of rap thing, right?
Right on. Yes, I just heard
there
it
there you go. This is the queen of rap here. You know,
not
so.
Really,
but
okay.
No, they usually play, and I hate it. They, you know, they play the Beatles Revolution song, and I hate that song. So I wish there was something different. So now
yeah,
that
that's
I got
probably why they lose. Maybe they'll win.
If
they play some hip hop.
Yeah,
it
so
pumps you up. That's one good thing about
pump
rap.
It up. I mean, the brothers will love it.
Right? No, it's just, you know, there's certain types of music that just get you, like, pumped up and ready to go, all fired up, like Tony C.
Tony Sincatus?
Yeah, Tony C. All fired up. Yeah. You know he says that.
Oh, that dude,
okay.
That dude is on something every single time. He's got to be on something.
Lenny just joined Roto Experts, so they're no longer fantasy pros, and we are Roto Expert fans now.
Oh, really? See, I'm learning so much. I don't keep track
already?
Of it. Oh, you know.
How about this one? I laughed out loud this morning. I really did an LOL for real. I was listening to the updates on the radio, and I hear, and Ian Kinsler hits the 15-day DL, and I just had to crack up laughing at it. I was like, if that's just not funny. Some
that,
stuff
it,
I
it
hear,
is,
man,
no,
it just
it,
cracks
it's
me
not
up.
Funny, but it's not funny, but it is very predictable. It's very predictable,
I could just,
unfortunately.
Yeah. I could just hear, I can feel your reaction.
Nelson Cruz needs to hit it too. So, you know, Nelson Cruz has been, you know, healthy for the first 2 month and a half of the season. So he needs to go down soon. I mean, that's the tradition.
Well, you know,
well.
They trade off. That's the good thing about Texas players. They always take care of each other. You know, it's Ian Kinsler's turn now, and then when he gets back, Nelson Cruz can go for a little while.
Yeah, they just,
they find a way
know,
to
they
win.
Need that mid-season break.
They win, though, Couch. They won again yesterday.
Yeah, and they took two or three from the Tigers this weekend. And
Miguel Cabrera hit. I mean, this
Miguel,
is no joke. What up?
Miguel Cabrera hits three home runs against the Rangers, though.
And it sucks for Prince Fielder because with the three home runs and the six RBIs that Miguel Cabrera gets, it kind of overshadows the fact that he also got, like, four RBIs or three RBIs. Like, I mean, he's not doing so bad himself. So
no.
It's interesting that they still didn't win the game, although, God, you just – Miguel Cabrera is going to be – I mean, he's putting up stats that you haven't seen in a long time.
Best player in baseball right now.
Oh, it has been for – couple years now.
2 years. Yeah, 2 years. But, I mean, he's just continually doing it. I mean, and that's something. But I think it's because of his number 24, which is my favorite and the number that I wore. So I think that's what it is.
Has to be that.
Connection with it.
Do you remember when they found Miguel Cabrera passed out drunk in his car at spring training in Florida, and he got, like, DUI, even though he wasn't driving, he was passed out behind the wheel, though. I guess apparently it was obvious he drove there. Remember that? And we were all talking about whether or not going into the season we were concerned about Miguel Cabrera, dude. And then this guy, and that wasn't the first time, that wasn't the first trouble. It was like that was during his little stint of trouble where we couldn't figure out whether or not his trouble, you know, which road was he going to go down? Was he going to get, you know, take care of business, or was he just going to continue down the destructive path? He had been taken to jail a couple times for domestic violence with his wife. Remember fighting with his wife? I don't know if he ever hit her. I mean, I don't think he did, but it was just big, loud, screaming blowouts. That, you know, something else happened where he went to jail, and I think he actually was accused of hitting his wife at one point, but then, you know, they found him drunk, passed out in his car. And I mean, here's a guy that you could Josh Hamilton all you want, but dude, this guy can play through no matter what. He's Beltre, he's Pujols.
Yeah, he's definitely.
He plays hurt or drunk.
He's the new Pujols, exactly. Right now, anyway. He's kind of stepped in where Albert has left off and has made a name for himself. You're right. After, you know, the second and third chance, he's right there. But, you know, really, if you think passed out behind the wheel drunk, I don't find that as a problem. More so that maybe he was driving and he realized, man, this is not a good idea. But,
well, maybe.
You know,
I don't know really the specifics on it, but it brought up a whole bunch of stuff. You know, the whole fantasy community was worried about Miguel Cabrera and whether or not he was going to, you know, flake off, and he never did. He was played good then too. He was playing good all through that. So also like Albert Pujols, just playing through shit, man. Playing through injuries, playing through hard times. Just you know, taking care of business.
It reminds me of a young Beltre right now.
Right, Beltre too last night hitting like crazy. I love it.
Oh, God,
I'm happy. Super happy about
Beltre.
I'd like
to see him get back up on it because I don't want people to look down upon him, you know. I want him to continue being good. And not because he's a Texas Ranger. It's just because that guy's been the most consistent baseball player in the last, 6 years?
When you
think about
defensively,
players,
I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. Offense.
Nobody holds a
candle.
Defense
isn't horrible, but it's not the best. But at the same time, you really don't care. I mean, if he has an error every once in a while out in the field, it's not a big deal. The key to that guy's success is his bat. And they'll keep him in the lineup if need be. They'll put him at DH for crying out. You know, so as long as the guy continues to hit. But for the last six seasons, Beltre has, wherever he's been, has produced and produced well. And hell, you know about Beltre.
Well, he was in Seattle and he didn't do well. I don't know how many years ago. Okay, so I mean, I start to get foggy after like three. But I know, you know, he played in, when he went to Boston, it was like a new Beltre. But, you know, the only people that are going to ever, I totally agree with what you're saying. You really want him to do good just so people can't dog on him. But, you know, those people that don't, I mean, honestly, I asked every person, including Ron Chandler, right up close and personal, you know, face to face, asked him the question, why are you down on Beltre? You know, can you give me one reason why you would think that he's not going to be Beltre next year? Well, you know, there's just, the answer I get is consistent, and it's basically just, you know, you have to have a bad year eventually. He's just getting older. It's like, well, so is fucking everybody else, dude.
Yeah, so don't dog him. That's what
that's
I'm
really
oh
not a
God.
Good. That's not a good enough reason for me, okay? Because you know,
exactly.
You got guys out there that are hitting. They're 35 years old or 40. Beltre is not that old. I mean, he's not. You know, and defensively too, you got to give him the credit, man. That number one third base is not that easy to play, and he plays defense like no. He's probably the best defensive third base in baseball.
You think so?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I'll give you that. Sure.
I know he's good. I know he's damn good. You know, I'm not very much worried about that. So
I mean, I haven't checked his stats. Is he making errors or something?
No, I don't know. I was just asking.
Well, as far as, you know, his overall numbers, he's been phenomenal in the field. Yeah, definitely. You can't be replaced at third base.
There you go. So you look at, oh, God, are the Cubs bad or are they just...
Do you know what's weird about the Cubbies? Okay, Lenny gave me seven. Sometimes he does this, plays this game with me. You have seven guesses to get. Guess what team is the? Well, I'm not saying it to you, so you don't have to worry about trying to guess. I mean, it took me all seven guesses, but I got it on the very last guess. Okay, but what National League team is tied for first place with the Washington Nationals for quality starts? So he says you get seven guesses to narrow it. I'm narrowing it down in my head, and I'm thinking, okay, it can't be St. Louis. It's just too obvious. You know, these teams that are good, like Atlanta or San Francisco, can't be them. Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I just start naming off teams, you know, random teams. Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, you know, all the teams. On my seventh guess, I couldn't remember the team in the middle – in the Central, dude. I was like, there's one more team in the National League Central, and I can't freaking remember what is the team that I'm missing in the National League Central. So I'm like writing them all down. Okay, I've already said, okay, we know it's not Cincinnati. I already said it. We know it's not St. Louis because it's too obvious. It can't, you know, I'm narrowing down the National League Central. I couldn't remember the Cubbies, and finally, like, the Cubbies, and it is. It's the Cubbies. So that's kind of an interesting stat when you think about how bad they look on, you know, to the normal guy, but their pitching isn't that bad.
Well,
Rizzo's not bad.
Their run differential is -3 right now on the
season.
That's
not bad.
That's not bad, but at the same, but you, yeah, I don't know how
that
much
has
I,
to, that's
I,
interesting too. That run differential, because are you looking at the run differential page right now?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Or are you just looking at them in general?
No, I'm looking at them. I got the whole ranking.
Well,
right,
like,
now.
Look at the worst team. What are they? Who is it? Wait, Houston, of course.
-88.
Okay, that's a big freaking difference. 88. If that means they've only scored three runs less than their opponents. What's their win loss record?
Who, the Chicago Cubs?
Yeah.
Hold on, I got it right. I just have to click this button, and I will tell you. I know they're under 500 by a lot.
Right.
Hold on.
Chicago, but the run differential
is
only 3.
25. They're 10.5 out, or they're 10 games out of first
place. See, that's where it hurts you, right there. That's where it hurts you. So they're losing. They're losing by a run or two, if that, because if they're only 3 runs down run differential, that means they're scoring runs, but they're losing.
But here's the problem with that, though.
They have no closer.
What you're saying, but they're finding ways to lose baseball games, though, by one or two. They're finding that way, and
like the Angels.
That's atypical of the Chicago Cubs. That's, you know, they even when they were good and they before Bartman and everything, you know, they were winning those games. That's the reason why they were in the position before Bartman. So they weren't like really incredibly rocking everybody out of the stadium or anything. So it is just a matter of, you know, how you're going to mentally be into the game in order to earn the W more so than the L.
Well, at least we're talking about them this year. That's an upgrade from last season.
Well, frankly, the only reason why we're talking about them is because they're so damn bad.
They're really, I don't know, I think they are an improvement from last year. Probably just don't quote me on that, but I do think they're a better team with... I do.
We'll
I think that. Well, they're in a building stage right now, dude. Big time. They got to rebuild. They haven't rebuilt it in so long.
For 109 years.
Oh, I don't think so, dude. That's sad.
Oh, by the way, we had an interesting conversation yesterday on That Being Said over on the Couch Potato Sports Show. And
uh-huh.
I thought I would throw this out to you. Okay.
Okay.
Because there, I got to find that paper because I wrote it down because I thought I was a genius when I figured it out.
Okay.
All right, here it is. All right. Former GM of the Boston Red Sox.
Right, Theo.
Theo Epstein. He goes over to the Chicago Cubs, and he's been there 2 years, right? 2 years now?
No, this is...
Third year.
No, dude, not more than two.
Okay, then
this
it's,
is
the
second
it's
year.
Definitely the second year. It's definitely
okay.
The second year. Okay.
All right.
We have that going on. We have Scott Pioli from... the New England Patriots go to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
Okay. And has fallen on his face as well.
Oh, I wouldn't say fallen on his face, Theo.
Well,
you have to remember that the Cubbies were on their face when Theo got there. So the only way to move is up,
that's
dude.
That's not necessarily true. You want to talk about an upswing.
Oh, it's true.
When Theo Epstein joined that team, they were supposedly only a few players away.
No, they weren't.
Now they're a whole infield in.
A whole team away, dude. They had no pitching. They have no closers. They have no nothing.
Well, they had an upswing.
I don't agree.
I was just wondering as I was looking at this. You know, we have basketball, baseball, and then you have.
What are you going to say? Boston sends bad management.
No, I'm going to say Boston has an arrogance.
Oh, definitely.
Epstein wants to. You know, the second longest streak in baseball. Okay, he snaps and gets the Boston Red Sox to the World Series and wins and blah blah blah.
Now he's going to do it.
And now he wants to do it for the worst team in Major League Baseball. I don't think he will. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. I think this is more ownership. Now, granted, the Chicago Cubs were owned by the Chicago Tribune for god-awful 29, something like that. Okay? So they were owned by a newspaper, so they weren't going to do anything during that time in order to really go out there and find someone to win. That's one of the problems with a newspaper owning a baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, but we're still talking about, 70 years of baseball where they're not being able to get it done. I actually believe it in a curse that, Theo, I don't know Theo stopped the second one, man, but we're talking over 100 years with the Chicago Cubs not winning a World Series. I don't know if the
Theo left Boston before and came back. They actually went out and got him back after they got rid of him in Boston, and then he won the World Series after that. So it was kind of like, you don't realize what you have until it's gone. But in Theo, I will give him the credit of I'm real good at putting things together and then leaving, and that's what he's going to do with the Cubbies. I have no doubt that he will make a better club over there. He's made some moves, and, getting Rizzo was an obvious decision that he made that was good. And, I think part of the problem is that Wrigleyville is so popular. It's always packed. It's always the day games. It's always day games.
Yeah.
So they don't care if they lose or win. They're all just drinking beer. So maybe that was part of the reason why they never needed to win or never tried to win is because nobody cares if they win, even though I know they do. No Cub fans need to call in right now and bitch me out, okay, for saying that Cubby fans don't care if they win, because I'm sure you do. But, you still go to the games and you still support your club and you still go to Wrigleyville and all
hey,
that.
Best fans in baseball, I think.
No, St. Louis.
No. St. Louis won World Series. There's a reason why I'm firm to gum. If you haven't won for 100-some-odd years and you still have a packed house and you're thinking about expanding to get more seats, obviously
nobody has the taste of winning in their head. I mean, everybody that's going to watch a Cubby game was not alive anywhere near. Nobody knows the taste of a win like Boston didn't until they won, and now they're all greedy for a win. But Cubbies don't know what it's like to win, so they're cool with what they got. You know, like the Mets fans, they're cool. None of those people were alive watching Mets when they were winning, really. If they were, they were in diapers.
Well, I wasn't, but okay. But yes,
okay, fine.
I'm 46.
I'm pretending.
So.
I'm younger than I am. I like to do that.
To
be younger.
You're like my wife. My wife says I'm $39.99.
I'm $29.99.
Yeah.
What up, Justin Masterson? 7 innings, 5 base runners, 11 Ks.
Absolutely.
11 Ks.
I saw that. I thought that was probably one of the better performances in baseball yesterday. I definitely saw that.
Dude, I gotta laugh. Okay, it's hilarious. Razzball is hilarious. Okay, I was talking about Ike Davis the other day and how he stands outside the batter's box. So I'm reading the newest update today, and one of the best things about Razzball.com, they always come out with like one of those articles about that happened last night, and he always goes over like a good significant amount of players. It's all free information. There's probably today there's four pages of players that he went over and just noted like what they did last night. So I'm looking here and I'm reading it. for Ike Davis, it says, the Mets said Ike Davis would have a month to turn things around before he's demoted, only they told him using a bullhorn because when he was called into the office, he stood 5 feet outside the door. He then put some gum in his ear and splashed water on Bobby Parnell's face.
That's got to be a joke.
It's totally a joke, but he totally was. Remember last week I read the quote about how he stands outside of the batter's box and he rides in the sidecar and drives the motorcycle.
Right.
So
he's
kind of knocking him for that. What up with Victor Martinez, though, dude? I mean, seriously,
Hold on. Don't go far because I got a question about Justin Masterson as we were talking about it. I was actually looking this guy up the other day because the Indians are kind of one of these teams that have kind of fallen from grace in reality. And I'm wondering, and I'm just asking, okay, this
fallen
guy.
From grace.
Well, you know, they were actually up there winning games, and they were actually vying for playoff spots. And for the last 2 years, they haven't. So it's a little fall of grace. But my question is can you have a guy like Masterson? Okay, now, granted, this guy's 28 years old. He's not old per se, but he's starting to get there as far as the age is concerned.
Old? Old?
Well,
how old is he, 29, 25?
He's 28. He's starting to get there. He's starting to move into – I know the guys get better, but their pitch counts go down. This guy hasn't pitched – he's only pitched two games this year where he hasn't thrown over 100 pitches.
I mean, so I'm not – so going into the season, the Cleveland Indians, their biggest concern was their rotation, and it was like, we're really going to have to rely on guys like Justin Masterson. We really need Ubaldo Jimenez to come back. We need, you know, these young guys – we need Chris Perez to be able to close out some games. And it was really kind of dependent on, you know – they knew that they had some assets in the field. They know they have, I mean, they got Carlos Santana as their catcher. They just acquired Nick Swisher. He's a power hitter. Their offense is pretty solid if you look at their lineup, but their rotation was what people were worried about, you know, and even those people that picked Cleveland as a sleeper were like, we're not really sure. The biggest question is whether or not Justin Masterson is going to be able to hold it down and, you know, pitch like a number one pitcher because that's what he is. You know, he's a number one. Is he really
Without
number one?
Question.
Well, now he is a number one, and the fact that he's pitched over 100 pitches in the last couple outings, I'm cool with that because of his experience, and he's been, you know, he's come up, he didn't come up last year, he's not Matt Moore here, you know, Matt Moore is beyond crazy right now, but, you know, you got to wonder, now, Justin Masterson has never really been known as an ace pitcher, and I don't think he ever is going to be an ace pitcher, but he's certainly holding his own in Cleveland. And even in the last couple of years, we've watched him strike out batters. He has a knack for striking out some batters on more than one occasion. He comes out and strikes out. You'll see his numbers, you know. It's like, wow, he struck out a lot of batters. It's not like Clay Buchholz all of a sudden, you know, striking out over nine per inning or nine
oh,
per nine.
I agree, but you know, at some point, you know, towards maybe after the All-Star break, I think you would want to see that number come down. Now his ERA 2.83. He's 7-2.
How many innings did he pitch?
71 strikeouts. He's right now. He's already he's pitched. Innings pitched. Is that what you were asking?
Yeah, because unfortunately, that's what we go by instead of pitches 70. Thrown, which would be better. But it would just say innings.
70 innings so far. Now, excuse me?
That's a lot of innings, right?
I would.
Are we even close to half the season being over?
No, wait a minute. We're not even. Yeah, no,
we're
that's
quarter
what I'm saying.
Through it, right?
I'm worried. He's pitched 70 innings in 10 games.
And he's on pace for.
He only has one no decision this year.
He's doing real good, and I wonder how many – you're looking at his stats. How many innings did he pitch in the last several years?
That part I don't have his yearly stats.
I'll have to pull
so
up his stats,
that. Yeah, I'll pull that up, and I'll get a different
– I have him right here on my NFBC team right here up in front with Mike Leake and Anibal Sanchez, and my Jaime's on that. Okay, he's –
There it is. Got it.
2013. 2012, he pitched 206. 2011, he pitched 216. I'm cool. I think he's fine. He is definitely fine with 200 or more innings. Right now, he would be on pace for, I guess if it's only a quarter of the way through, he would be on pace for 280 innings.
280, yeah.
That's no way.
A little bit too much. But I you know, maybe he'll bring that down. That's what I think that was.
Depends
my point
on how many pitches he's
that.
Throwing. That's what I want to know. He had two complete games so far this season. You got to love it. I mean,
well,
I am a fan of Masterson, and
I'm not questioning the guy's talent.
You got to rub it in Lenny's face every time. Yeah, he's on pace for 270 innings right now with 27 wins and 274 strikeouts. So if we see that, we'll be going back to, like, Nolan Ryan days.
And that's what I'm talking about. Just they got to figure out a way to slow this guy down and try to get him in there. But, you want to talk about value. This guy's only making $5,687,000. I mean, so for your ace, and you're only paying $5.5 million. You got a bargain going on right there.
Yeah, you know, he really did come through. He came around and he fell. Another guy that's finally, I'm not going to say Masterson finally, but he did take a little while to come around, but he never really had a chance in Boston. So after he left Boston, that's when his talent really started to shine through because he actually got an opportunity.
In 2008, 2009, they had just a better, starting rotation. The guy couldn't
get
any time. Yeah.
Totally. So they gave him to a team that could.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So,
but
know,
Homer
now
Bailey,
he's 180 in the 200 games. So maybe there's some validity to that. You know, so really he wasn't starting pitching, 180 innings until 2010. So, okay, cool. All right. Got it.
Right. He wasn't really, but after, so the consistency looks good for the last 3 years, but our boy Homer Bailey that, every year you're like, damn, should I draft? It's him and stupid Ricky Nolasco. Every time their name comes up on the draft, you're like, damn, dude, is Homer Bailey going to put it together this year or what? Is Ricky Nolasco going to forget? I mean, is he not just going to stand out there and just throw strikes and then, not ever come around? Ricky Nolasco and Homer Bailey both put it together. I don't know if it's going to last. They're both kind of shady, if you ask me, and
right.
I don't own either one of them. But right now, I kind of wish I owned Ricky Nolasco. Last night, 8 innings pitched, 11 Ks. He's been doing very good. He's the new Ricky Romero. He's a replacement. Ricky Nolasco is
like
Ricky Romero.
Yeah, so that's okay. I kind of like Ricky Romero. So,
for real.
Yeah.
Homer Bailey did a real good job, 7 innings, and then I think, what's the closer over there? The real fastball guy. Aroldis came in and I think he got a blown save. I'm not really sure, but 11 Ks for Homer Bailey or 3 Ks for Homer Bailey and 11 Ks for Nolasco. Two guys that you drafted because you didn't see anybody else worthy and you definitely weren't going into your draft saying, I'm going to go, I think it's really that time for Homer Bailey and Nolasco to really put their shit together.
Well, yeah, you would think that they would go there, but
Jeff Locke.
I don't know. I hope he can continue it. That's the only thing.
My phone's dying. I'm going to call you back on my cell phone.
Got it.
My phone's dead. Okay, bye.
You got it. She's going to call back up on a different line. But, exactly. I see what she's talking about as far as where he's going to end up being there. But so since she's gone away and she'll be back, it sounds like a song. Since she's gone away. Anyway, let's just talk about the standings. And by the time she gets back in, she should be over in the American League East, the Yankees. Hey, say what you want. You want to badmouth the Yankees, you can go ahead. But they're sitting on top over in the American League East, 27-16. Boston, 27-17, half game out. Baltimore at 23-24 games out of the – and then you have Tampa Bay, at 23-20, but it's the Toronto Blue Jays sitting at 17-26. Seems to be that maybe spending all that money did not matter, wouldn't you say there, Andrea?
Yep.
So, looking at that. Going over into the Central, Cleveland 25-17, Detroit 23-19, but they just dropped, 2 out of 3. They should have been right up there. Kansas City 20-20 at .500. The White Sox 19-23, 18-22 for Minnesota. Over in the West, it's Texas fighting, and they're going to fight the battle with Oakland all year long. 29-15 for Texas, 23-22 for the Oakland A's. Seattle, who Andrea's got a love affair for. Oh, you might as well. You got a pretty damn good pitcher over there. 20-24, and the Angels had a pathetic 17-27, and then Houston is god-awful at 12 wins and 32 losses. That's your American League. National League, the Atlanta Braves, 25-18. Washington just, you know, 2.5 games back, 23-21. Philadelphia beginning to win some games. I've actually been watching this team a little bit. So they're trying to gear up. 21-23, just a little bit above or below 500. The Mets, 17-24. Miami had a god-awful 12-32. St. Louis has the lead in the Central. Cincinnati behind them, 2.5 games back, 26-18, as well as Pittsburgh. The Chicago Cubs can't get out of their way, 18-25, and Milwaukee, 17-25 as well. Over in the West, it's Arizona on top by a game over Colorado at 24-20, as well as San Francisco at that one game behind. Then it's San Diego at 20-23, and the LA Dodgers at 17-25.
Hey, can you hear me?
Barely.
Okay. Let me get...
There we go.
Okay.
You're a little closer.
I'm calling back. I'm calling you back again. So
all right, she's
going
to try
to
call back again. But that's your standings. But I want to get back. Let's talk a little bit about whether or not... I mean, we started out the beginning of the year saying the Yankees had no chance. Well, guess
they
what?
They still have no
chance. Well, hold on. They're on top of the American League East right now.
I know. Dude.
Did
I
anybody expect? You got to be honest. Be honest, Andrea. You didn't expect the Yankees, okay, to be on top in the American League East. It just wasn't what you thought.
Okay, check the other line.
Okay, I only got one line with you. There we go. Hold on. There's the other
line. Do you hear
line.
Me now?
There he is. I got
now
you now.
I'm talking.
All right, so.
No, I didn't expect them to be at the top of the list, and I'm not even embarrassed about it because nobody in their right mind would think that they would be at the top of the list. But
absolutely.
Let me tell you.
Got to give them props.
I've thought about
them,
this a lot.
Got to give them props.
Well, there's a store
I
up the road
too.
Where I have props? You want me to give them props?
Well, they're on top in the – wait. No one everybody thought the Blue Jays were going to be the ones to watch out for this year.
I'm a Red Sox fan, Couch.
Well, yeah, that.
I'm too busy giving my own team props, who I thought would suck it up too, but not as bad as the Yankees.
Well, yeah, exactly. But you know, they're right
okay.
there on top. I
now,
you gotta give them they're right there.
What about Phil Hughes? What about their – dude, I know they've been able to manage, dude, in the offensive category, and that's fine. That's been really great to see, and I do give them a lot of credit for being able to come out there and take care of business offensively. But their pitching staff. Anybody but Mariano, dude. And, yeah, CC comes around, but I don't think it's going to last. I mean, Andy Pettit is now, I don't know how long he'll be on
the
DL, but he could be done for the season.
Well, he's only on the 15 days, so, yeah, he's done for the season.
And then Phil Hughes has just been a pile of crap again.
Well, he's not very good. He's not very good. You look at him right now, he's 2-3. And he was lucky to get one of the games that he won if it wasn't for the bats in that game. I get what you're saying, but
I think that if it was the normal Yankees, I would be saying right now that I wouldn't doubt for a second that they would be owning a star pitcher by the All-Star game, by the trade deadline. They would be owning one of the best pitchers in baseball because that's what they would need to put this together right now. You know, they don't have any – they have some offensive guys that are coming back. I mean, Granderson just came back. You still have Jeter coming back. You got Teixeira coming back. You know, those additions at the second half of the season are, you know, they're priceless for – a club. I mean, these guys, you know, what's that fool? Oh, Lyle Overbay, you know, this guy's not going to last all season, but he's doing a good job now. They're doing a good job holding down the fort. But as far as their pitching goes, there is nobody that's injured in their rotation to come back and be a Teixeira or a Granderson or a Jeter in that ball club.
Look at the run differential there. You know that I've loved this stat ever since you've kind of introduced it to me, and it says a lot about what I'm going to say here is that you may not have the best pitching, but if you have if you got some bats and you can try to keep a team under four runs, the Yankees got a good chance of winning baseball games.
Absolutely, they sure do. I just
and
don't think they can.
And they're at
25.
Last three games, they're at plus 9. They're plus 9 in the last three games. That means they've won by on average in the last three games by 3 runs.
That's super. That is good.
Okay.
And it makes me really question now whether or not I should put
mad.
That full over bay in my freaking lineup this week.
Well, I would. He's going to be there all week. He's going to be there all week.
Yeah, I know, but
I
have.
I think, anyway.
He's going to be there all week. Yeah, he'll be there. He'll be there, dude, sitting his ass in the field, I don't know, doing nothing if I put him on my roster. If I don't, he'll be hitting like crazy.
Yeah, that's you can depend upon that. So, by the way,
I also
found another stat that I like.
Okay.
And
yeah.
The stat that I like is plate appearances. Now, I don't like it as far as the whole season because I don't care for the whole season. Plate appearances for and this is the whole team. It's not just one guy.
Okay.
Although I could get that, but.
Why
does
it? Why do you like it for the team combined?
Because the reason why is you take. Well, I look at the last three games and play the
appearances. If they're batting more, then it's like carrying the ball more in football. It's like possession most of the game, right?
Exactly. And with Oakland with Oakland right now as the worst in the last three games, but the most throughout the season. But for the last three games, they're worst. Yeah, at 94 plate appearances, and that's it. Now,
I don't know if it's good or bad stat in baseball. I mean, I totally get where you're coming from, and I thought of it immediately as in comparison to a football game where, you know, a team is dominating when they're holding the ball most of the time. You know, it's kind of a goal in football. But in baseball, I guess it means what would be good about it is that they're working the pitchers, I guess. That would be good. But
Or they're not just going 3 and out and being done. You know what I'm saying? You're getting some hits out of your teams, and more batters are batting than just 3 in the inning. You know, you're getting 5, sometimes 5, 6 batters up in an inning, and that's, you know, and that ends up with runs. That adds up to runs in reality is what I'm saying.
Right about that. You don't ever hear that being talked about. You came up with something. You should feel like a genius now, more so.
I am a genius. That's what it boils down to. It's one of these hidden talents that I'm so smart that I don't even know I'm smart.
Yeah,
sometimes.
I have that same problem, I think.
Sometimes people listen to me and go, that guy's an idiot.
So, you know, this pitcher Juan Nicasio in Colorado about two and a half years ago.
I'm not even sure who that is.
Well, he's a pitcher that most people don't really pay attention to because he's kind of on and off, but he's not that dominant. But a couple years ago, I was writing a post for Fantasy Pros, and I had written about Nicasio, and I was talking about I remember writing the article and talking to Lenny on the show about this kid, and he was like, who's that? You know, he's thinking I'm crazy. And I was telling him about this kid's stats at home, which in Colorado, we all know nobody likes to pick a pitcher who's pitching in Colorado because the ball is going to go out of the park, like, just inevitably, you know? Like, the force of a swing, dude, is going to put it out of the park.
Yeah,
he's better at home than he is on the road, and he always has been. And just Lenny tells me yesterday that he goes, guess who I picked up in Tout Wars, and everybody laughed at me for it. And he told me it was him, and he said, I picked him up because I remembered that you told me he was good at home, and I needed a pitcher for that, you know, to get me a good outing. And I picked up Nicasio. He was the only one there, and he gave me a super good outing. And he's actually turning some heads right now. He was being talked about on MLB radio today because of his last several outings, but nobody's noticed really on the radio or in the papers that his numbers at home are significantly better than on the road. I actually haven't checked that stat this year, so I hope I'm right still, but I remember looking at it and noticing that. And nobody pitches good in Colorado, but he does. So put that in your table. Scratch it in.
Well, I'm looking at it. His last game at home was against the Mets where he got the win, but he had an ERA of 5.63. Then he had a no decision against Arizona, and then at home against the Yankees, no decision, 4.72. So he's not necessarily doing all that wonderful at home. He got the win and against San Francisco. It's the ERA that he's given up. So it's more about the runs more so than anything.
Is he
at home
now batters?
Striking out batters, I wouldn't say by a god-awful amount. He's got the last two outings, but they were on the road, two strikeouts, but at home, five, against Arizona, three, against the Yankees, five. I guess five is, you know, looks like a pretty good total for him at home.
What's his whip, I'm wondering, because if his ERA is that high, he's not walking, guys. He couldn't be. They wouldn't be talking about him on MLB Radio if he's walk. If his ERA is that big and he's walking, guys.
Well, let me – I will look at his whip because I wasn't looking at that stat that shows the whip. So
I should get my own ass computer and look at
some
damn stat.
I can get it just – I can get it faster. I just go to Baseball Reference on it and get the whip on him. All right, so 2003 whip 1.31.
I don't want 2003 numbers, dude. It's 2013, man.
That's what I'm looking at, 2013. Oh. 1.317. He is, you know, he's 4-1 this year. So that's what I'm looking at.
Jaime Garcia is on the DL.
Jaime Garcia, that must really break your heart.
A little bit, but I needed to put in Frieri and Valverde somehow anyway, so it was good that somebody went on the deal, I guess. That's crazy to say, but he's little Jaime Garcia. Let's see what's wrong with him. Shoulder strain. Going to see Dr. Freeze. Whoa.
Dr. Freeze?
Raswell says that when you go to see Dr. Freeze, it means he'll be sidelined anywhere from 12 to 18 months. It was must Tommy John, dude.
I was just about ready to say that.
I don't know. I think they're really being pretty cautious with him, and I'm hoping that's what it is. But I know that going into the season, they were concerned about his, you know, injuries, and so maybe they're just being extra cautious. That's what I'm hoping, that he just, you know, wasn't feeling it. So, we got a closer carousel going on. Brandon Lee sucks. Jim Johnson sucks now. These two guys are both sucking it up. They can go right into the same category as the rest of the closers in baseball. And, you know, the Andrew Bailey bone spurt walking biopsy. I was trying so hard to come up with a B word, dude, like quick. But
I don't know. You can take a look at what you're right. The closers have been, I don't think they've been anything impressive this year, but I think it's just a different type of baseball season so far, at least so far this year. You're not having that dominant closer right now, and I don't think that's going to pick up until we get closer to the All-Star game.
You know, it's funny, just the whole closer thing, but speaking of just things going whack and weird, you know, Brandon Lee, I got to give him a little bit of credit. I mean, it wasn't really his fault that bad. He had two unearned runs for the blown save. So when you have two unearned runs and you get a blown save, do you think that you should get a blown save if you're earned? If I mean, the whole point of earned runs means that, you know, it was kind of your bad. But when you say the guy gave up two unearned runs and he blew a save, it's kind of crappy to do to a guy. You know, like, you didn't deserve it, but we're still going to give you a blown save.
Yes.
Yes, what?
I think you deserve, I mean, as a matter of fact, there's not a lot of leagues that actually do that. They don't take away for the blown save, and I think they should do it more.
Well, he doesn't deserve a blown save on his record for that two unearned runs, but either way, I was listening to Danny Picard. He does a show here on Blog Talk Radio called I'm Just Saying. He's a Boston guy, and he's super...
Yeah, I listen to him.
If you listen to his show after John Lackey's last outing, he talked about, he calls him bad luck Lackey now, because he said this guy is just, he's actually pitching okay, but he's just having the worst luck. Like, this double play ball that was hit was supposed to be like, you know, it was a double play, get out of the inning type thing, and he threw the ball, and it went into the outfield, and two runs scored, and they lost the game. And then the other time that he lost the game was when, like, the ball went up into the air, and it got caught on something up in the sky, like a wire or something hanging, and it, like, changed directions, and so Dustin Pedroia couldn't get it, and then they won the game off that. But, you know, six innings pitched, zero earned runs, one hit. He only gave up one hit, no walks, and five Ks. So, you know, as much as I hate to say this, John Lackey's not looking too bad.
Well, he's not. He's not horrible. But that doesn't mean in the next four or five, this guy has to show some consistency as far as a, you know, as far as the role is concerned up there. I want to see it, and I don't think I'm the only one. I'm not going to, he may get a little bit of bad luck, but here's another thing, just really quick. You know, when you're over there at the East Coast Persuasion, and yes, I'm throwing it on you.
Throw Stephen Drew into the mix.
No, the only thing I'm going to say about you, you don't have it, okay? You don't have that. No,
good.
I don't think so. I think you're just a fan of the Red Sox. But here's the thing. The difference between you and others, you know when your team sucks and you know when you're just blowing smoke out of their ass, and that's what
right. I don't try to make myself believe that they're really going to come around here because
exactly.
I mean,
and that's one thing about Picard that I don't necessarily like. However, that being said, which is the show that I have here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. That being said, When you listen to him talk about other teams outside of the East Coast, I really like what he's got to say about a lot of them.
He's a good – yeah, he's got a lot of passion. That's why sometimes I'll listen to him, like, right before a show because he gets me worked up. He gets me real, like – you know, he's very passionate. And so you got to really like that about a guy. He talks – I wish he talked more about the Red Sox. He's a huge hockey fan. So, unfortunately, it's like I just wish he would spend more time on the Red Sox. They're not, you know – as exciting right now because there's always something else going on during baseball. If it's not hockey, it's football. So he is both big fans of both of those. So I don't get a lot of time. But when he talks about the Red Sox, it's really interesting. He's up close and personal. He goes to all the games. And, you know, it's just interesting hearing his point of view because he's straight up. He doesn't, like, say what everybody else says. And that's super good quality for me to listen to.
Well,
I like.
That's the reason why we were talking about this yesterday. You know, that's the reason why Blog Talk Radio is so great, okay, because you do have these hosts in there that are somewhat knowledgeable or at least put something out there that will make you think. And you would – yesterday was let's just bash LeBron day. And you're not going to hear it on ESPN radio. You're not going to hear it on any major MLB or you know the NBA channels and stuff like that because they're all kissing LeBron James's ass, and you can't say anything bad about LeBron or you could be out of a job. That's the great
absolutely.
Thing about Blog Talk Radio, and the. When you get the opportunity to listen to Blog Talk Radio and you find – and they don't have to be great. You just got to find a show that you like and you can listen to it and say, wow, I didn't know that. That's definitely more information that you're going to get from ESPN Radio because ESPN is only going to give you what they want on a good guy. If he's a bad guy, they'll blow that guy up. However, a LeBron James, they wouldn't find a negative stat on that guy to save their lives.
Oh, well, you know, that's all scripted. And the best thing is actually, you know, it's hearing people's opinions. I don't care if they're right or wrong. They're right to me if they have an opinion of their own, okay? And ESPN, none of those people, I mean, really, they're scripted. Everything's scripted. So
that's why we do
it is.
Off the
and,
top of our head.
Okay, so Eric Young Jr., who I've been wondering why Colorado never played, never found room for Eric Young Jr., but every time he comes up to bat or every time he got the chance to play, he would steal bases. And I kept, you know, for a couple years, the last few years, I'm like, if they're not going to let this fool play, then why don't they trade him to a team that will let him play? Because every time he gets up to bat, he steals a base. That means he's getting on base. And Eric Young Jr. is getting some play time, 2 for 5, 2 runs, and a 6th steal. If this guy gets any sort of significant play time, he could be looking at a decent season as far as stealing bases is concerned.
You would think so, and that would make sense because all you got to do is take a look at the stats, and you said it on Friday, if the guy continues, if he continues hitting and he produces, he's going to be in the lineup.
I agree, but he never has been given a shot. I might recall that he's kind of bad defensively, and that's why he never really – he plays second base, and then I can't remember exactly why they didn't have room for him or whatever, but exactly. He's apparently now they've decided that if he hits and steals bases that, yeah, he's worth keeping in the lineup. That's good theory.
Yep, definitely. Well, you would think it would be a good theory. So, by the way, just really quick, And I didn't get a chance, but somebody in Arizona did something really good at the bat. What was that about? Do you know the big story?
It was a walk-off three-run home run by – oh, my God, that reminds me of something super funny. I can't remember who it was, though. It was this guy that's
– here it is. I got it. All right. It was Geraldo Parra.
Well, yeah, Gerardo Parra.
Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, and he's hitting
Geraldo
good this
Parra.
Season. Parra,
all right, yeah. All right, here it was. A home run leading off baseballs aren't a rare occasion, but this is what happened.
Chapman?
Very first pitch of the game from Tom Coakler.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nobody scored any more runs the whole game or what?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That,
right, yeah, the very first pitch, it was the Marlins they were playing against.
That is correct. So, yeah, that's what it boils down to. Interesting. Never thought about that. Wow. It wasn't the first time, but it's just very rare that it happened. So,
that the fans
Pete
were
Rose
just
was,
shit
Rose
or drunk
the
by
last,
the end of the game.
Yeah, Pete Rose was the last one to do it as a Cincinnati Red, knocking off the Mets 1-0 in a game two of a doubleheader. At least that's what this says.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, where are you at? What site are you on? Baseball Reference?
Oh, I'm on Yahoo, so it's right.
Oh, yeah. I don't really. I don't know. But
right.
Okay,
that,
so let me tell you what's funny, dude. Okay, let me just figure out remember who freaking player this is. I think it was, I want to say Ryan Rayburn. No, it wasn't Ryan Rayburn. It was somebody funny, though, dude. It was somebody funny. And the announcers, you know how the baseball announcers, they're always just talking about what's going on, the radio announcers for the home team park. They were playing, oh, my God, I got to get this right. I got to remember who it was, dude. It was somebody funny, though, and the guy hit a he just hit the ball. He was running to first base, and he was thrown out, but he slid head first into first base. And one of the announcers was like, I don't know why he just slid into first base. What do you think he slid into first base head first for? What was that about? And then the other guy's like, I don't know. And he's like really contemplating it. He's like really trying to figure out, I don't know. He's like, okay, anyway, moving on. But, you know, it was just, I think you might have had to be there. So I probably don't tell the story as good because I can't remember the freaking player, but it was somebody funny, and it was just like, I pictured it in my head, and I laughed out loud because just, you don't slide head. Who slides head first in the first base? I don't think I've ever seen it unless it was like, you know, something serious. Because you can overrun first base. You don't need to slide.
Your hands get there faster. I've actually seen a lot of people slide into first base.
I don't know, dude. I don't see that very often, but okay.
I see it a lot. Maybe it's me, but I see.
Even when you're coming
and
back
I,
from second base, you're like you were trying to steal, but you decided to, you know, you have to tag up. Yeah, I've seen you slide into first base coming that way, but never. I never see anybody slide into first go. Not really. I mean, I've seen it before, but
I almost question your baseball, you know, heart. You've never seen it. I've seen it so many times. I think it's cool. I think it needs to happen more often. You know,
this is
your
favorite.
Gets there faster.
Would have loved
him.
I'm sure it looked just as funny as it sounded.
I imagine.
Who is it?
Probably
one
of those you had to be there kind of moments. Yeah, I guess
it has to be. It was. I think it was in Detroit. I think who's playing Detroit? Texas.
Texas. Yeah, but no. You know, you might be thinking that was the mark about Ian Kinsler. His freaking head was almost taken off. I mean, going back into third base. Was that what it was?
No, it wasn't,
sure it wasn't
him at
that?
All. It was I'm going to look for him. As soon as I see his name, I'm looking at the depth chart. Anyway, it was just a normal player. It wasn't anybody special. It was, I want to say Ryan Rayburn. It was kind of like that kind of player, but it wasn't Ryan Rayburn. He's better than this guy was not as good as Ryan Rayburn. I can't remember who it is, but we all know who he is. And I just feel really like I shouldn't have brought that up because I can't remember.
Kinsler took a header into third base.
I didn't see that.
And I'm wondering if that's what they were talking about.
No, it was totally
slide
into.
Did you watch the game when that happened, or did you just hear about it?
No, I didn't see it.
I got it up. If it's going to be, it'll be right here on this page because it shows interesting things. No, it's more about the header. It's more about the header of Ken.
You, he's just lit and he, what? Nick Punto it was. Nick Punto. It was Nick Punto that slid into first base head first.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. But Ian Kinsler, oh, my God. And
how
that's
about
the reason
this?
Why he's on the DL. That's the reason why he did. I mean, he's got to learn to slide. That's a horrible slide, by the way. he got no.
Look, they came up to replace Ian Kinsler, Jerickson Profar.
Well, yeah, Profar probably is going to be the one. And if it's not that, then why even have that guy in your minors?
Oh, he's up.
Good. That's who it needs to be. I don't know. I didn't keep track of that yesterday. But
he's
oh,
up.
My gosh. Oh, here. I'm going to put, are you in the chat room?
I'm kind of wandering around, but I can go there.
Go into the chat room. I put up the video of where Ian Kinsler took the slide. Oh, my God. This guy's been a bit. Where did this guy learn to freaking slide?
There's no chat room.
There isn't?
Well, maybe because I'm in Firefox. Because Firefox, I have it all amped up to protect my identity. So let me go to. It won't play Flash sometimes. So I don't know if that's.
That's why it is a Flash thing, and you got to update. I only use Firefox, so let's see here. It's in the chat room. I put it up in the chat room, and it's there.
All right.
So check it out. You don't have to check it now, but you can see how god-awful the slide into third base by Ian Kinsler. Jeez, if you're going to – I mean, he got no slide at all is what happened. It's just like he
– There's no chat, fool.
Stopped. Huh?
There's no chat.
I'm in the chat room.
Well, you don't have the chat room on.
I do. I'm looking right at it. Here, I'll open up the big window then.
I have another – Should I go to my other computer right here? Let me check it.
You might need to go into the other one because chat's up. And
okay,
right
well,
there.
Don't take it down. Or just send me the link at Facebook. You can do that. Put it on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Here, let me get you the – let me open up the Facebook. But, yeah, you would think, you know, you gotta do it a little bit better. Slide a little bit better. Where are you at, Andrea? Where are you at?
I'm not in there, but just put it in my chat, and I'll get it as a message.
There it is. Got it. All right. There's you, and there's the message. Paste. Send. All right. Very good. So you're all set.
Okay, cool. Now I'm signing in. But all right.
Huh? You know, Yard Barker is kind of an interesting website.
Yard Barker is – I used to work for Yard Barker. I used to write for Yard Barker.
Really?
It's pretty – It's like the Bleacher Report where, you know, it's a bunch of people that you submit articles and you get approved whether or not you're allowed to write. And so when you are allowed to write, you know, that's why there's so much variety on Yard Barker. And
yeah,
it is interesting for sure.
Views. Yeah, you get a lot of different views. That's for sure. I'll give it that. I mean, I don't believe half the crap that is written.
Yeah, just remember, it's all opinion. It's all like Bleacher Report, which is definitely, you know, they don't just let anybody write for them. That you have to submit an application. But, you know, the people that have passion for the game and that, you know, to have an opinion, they like to put it up there. So it's opinion, but it's totally worthy of reading.
Oh, yeah. They've got some good stuff in there. And you just got to take it with a grain of salt. But, yeah. But you're right. The difference between Yard Barker and Bleacher Report, day and night, Yard Barker's 100 times better than Bleacher Report.
Why do you say that?
Believe me, I used to write for Bleacher Report.
Me too. But
boy,
I don't see
boy,
any difference
with
Yard Barker and Bleacher Report. They're the same to me.
Well, more than the fact that Yard Barker is more about pushing your website in reality. So if you don't have a website, that's why you go to Bleacher Report. And I don't want to do the website crap. That's actual work.
Okay.
That's,
yeah, I agree, dude.
It's work.
Why do you think I'm still wandering around the internet? I don't want to do mine either.
I want to put that up on, like, Examiner. That's why I write for Examiner, which you should write for Examiner. Not that you'll make any money. The most I ever made was about $45 a month when I was writing for the Cowboys. And I'm just tired of writing about the Cowboys because
I just don't like deadlines. I don't like to have to write on somebody else's schedule. I want to write on my own schedule when I feel something to rant about. That's when I want to write, and I just have
you
a hard...
You opinion. You can't go to Examiner. They don't like opinion pieces, I've been told many times.
Oh, yeah, then I don't belong there, because that's all
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
I'm not in the...
It's based on, you know, a significant amount of knowledge, I think, but they definitely wouldn't like me if they don't like opinion.
Well, here's the thing. The way I look at you is if you're being courted by Sirius a little bit, I think you probably got some creds.
I have a big meeting this week with someone, so I'll have to let you in on that one afterward.
I got a big meeting at the beginning of June that I'll let you know about.
Super. How fun for us, right?
Yeah, you're just trying to do something fun, trying to keep it going. So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
Just trying to get through the day, you know?
Hey, you know, June, and yes, my meeting's on a Saturday, so all you smartasses going, oh, you don't got a meeting on the 1st, it's Saturday. Yes, I have a meeting on Saturday, thank you very much. Before
I think anybody's really looked into it that.
Bastards.
If they did, they're just jealous.
Yeah.
They'd really like to be with me more often,
indeed.
But...
You bet. So, anyway,
okay, dude.
It.
I'll see you Friday.
All right. Yeah, bet. We'll do it again on Friday. Hey, we've done it 2 weeks in a two shows in a row. Are you okay?
I was hoping you weren't going to draw attention to that, but I was like, when I called in today, when I was looking for you this morning, I was like, he probably just assumes I'm not coming around. Here's me looking for couch potato, and you know, I see you're just getting your cup of coffee. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. Well, I guess I just assumed that when you didn't see me early, that you assumed that I just was going to miss the show because I came on Friday.
5 minutes. See, I see when you post a message, you got
to last minute
in between. 8 and 8:10. I'm usually not in front of the computer because I'm taking my daughter to school. Between
I think today was more like 8.
9 and 9:10, and I answered 5 minutes later, and I was like, huh, just like a woman wanting her answer right now.
Jeez, I know because I wait till the last minute, and then I'm like,
yeah, because you didn't answer. I was like, well, you know, you didn't even answer.
I didn't even notice.
Here it is. Hold on. Where was it? Oh, here it is. All right. You beat me at 8:11. I must have just been walking in the door, and then I went and got my coffee, which takes about 5 minutes, you know.
9:11. Oh, 9:11 my time.
Yeah, 9:11 your time, and then I answer at 9:16, and then you don't answer until 9:35.
Yeah, that's how
like,
me and Couch Potato prepare for the show. We get a hold of each other 15 minutes beforehand, and we're like, are you available today to talk some coffee? Okay,
yeah,
sure,
yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, as long as I got coffee, I can probably do it. And I'm usually sitting right at my desk when I look up. It's 8:45 or 8:50. I'm like, shit.
I know, me too. I'm getting out of the shower. I'm like, okay, should I just not dry my hair and study? No, I'll dry my hair and not study.
There you go. Jeez, you
okay,
worry
dude, have
about
a wonderful
You bet. So we'll be here Friday. For those that have taken a listen, give us a listen. We'll be here on Friday. Until then, for Andrea, I am Sunny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. We'll be back Friday. Have a good week, everybody.